Each failure is a step closer to success. You're listening to episode 14 of Learn With Us. I'm Nikos.
And I'm Ken. Learn With Us is a podcast for developers that want to do better or get better, whichever.
Whatever you like.
We're going to talk today about a presentation that you gave, Nikos, just last week. So what was the title of your talk?
So my talk was basically about the future of the current state of data visualization on the web, and also some of my future predictions on what things are going to happen.
So this was a follow-on to the topic we talked about in our last episode, which you were just kind of reinvigorating yourself or reintroducing yourself to data visualization and the R programming language, or what do we call that? The R
language. We can't remember. We were talking about D3 last time as well. May have done.
We didn't really touch on D3, but D3 is in that same realm of at least for visualizations.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us more about your presentation and all the things that you didn't know in preparing for your talk.
Well, the coolest parts of the presentation were a result of I was hanging out with Google and Uber, and they were telling me all about the WebGL stuff they're doing for data visualization. So most of the people at the conference were kind of like in the 2D world, and I was telling them that WebGL is the future, and basically things JavaScript is going to pretty much dominate the future of data visualization, I think, just because there's so many developers and so much code being written in JavaScript these days that more and more data visualization people are going to be using more JavaScript, which is good news for us. That's my prediction. So right.
And JavaScript is like the gateway drug to programming.
JavaScript just is the gateway to everything. The end goal is JavaScript. Once you're in JavaScript, you're there. All other languages are like the wolves on the bottom of the hill trying to get to the top of the hill. But with JavaScript, you're the lion on the top of the hill with all the food. I think I've used that illustration before, but it's so funny that I can use it for anything.
Yeah. You said that in regards to Ember, I think.
Yeah. It's such a good illustration. I mean, you could talk about anything to do with it. Yeah.
Yes.
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger was the one that invented it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he basically says that he's a bodybuilder at the top of the hill. And
I've never heard of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah, so other bodybuilders are like the hungry wolves trying to get to the top of the hill, and Arnold says, yeah, but when I want the food, it's there. Someone goes, the other wolves are more hungry. Anyway.
Right. All right. Now we jumped off topic. Let's get back on.
Okay, so Google invented this thing called facets. If you go to, just type Google facets, and they have this thing called Dive. So what Dive does is it allows you to view large data sets, and in particular on the site, it's for viewing machine learning data sets. So for example, you have a bunch of results from machine learning tests of data, and the machine learning would say categorize it. And if you want to like view all the data and see what is categorized in certain ways, facets can split up the data and use WebGL to render really quickly in the browser. And you really have to basically go onto the Google website to see what I'm talking about, because it's very hard to introduce it over the podcast. Basically, I sat down with for half an hour for one of the developers of the whole thing, and he basically explained it to me on a Google Hangout. And Uber also have something really cool. They have actually they've created something called DeckGL, and also something called LuminaGL. Now, LuminaGL is a very thin layer over the native WebGL 2 library. It just makes it a little bit user-friendly, but it doesn't hide you from the bare bones. And then DeckGL is a bunch of components on top of Lumina. It's made for viewing big data. Absolutely amazing stuff. So I've also started a new teaching contract, so I'm going to hopefully try and use some of that stuff at some point.
So it looks like Lumina is not a product of Uber, but it's something that DeckGL builds on.
No, they're both Uber's products.
Oh, okay, I see that DeckGL actually has an uber.github.io domain, but Lumina, I'm not seeing.
Well, that's kind of a smaller library that only the really people that are really interested in WebGL would muck around with. So, also in the talk, I talked about, you know, the usual suspects like D3, NVD3, which is charting on top of D3. Talked a little about Kibana, which is a sort of way to visualize lots of JSON data being stored inside of a Lucene text engine, which is actually all sort of wrapped around with Elasticsearch. And I also talked a little bit about choices, how it's really hard to make choices with data visualization. So I just said to them, look, the future is WebGL and JavaScript. Do these things and you're fine. And also actually mentioned a really cool thing that Google are doing for JavaScript. They've actually built a machine learning library in JavaScript, and it uses the WebGL to do the expensive mathematical computations.
Is WebGL a C-based library, or I don't know. I don't exactly understand what WebGL does for you.
The browser has now the modern browsers, Edge, you know, Firefox, Chrome have WebGL support. And WebGL is a subset of OpenGL that runs in the browser, so it uses the GPU directly via shaders that you can write in a shader-specific language that the browser can understand. It's like a kind of C-ish kind of like language. But the thing is, these frameworks like DeckGL and Lumina, they hide you from some of the low-level stuff. But you can actually go and modify yourself if you want with the shader language, web shader language. But it's all native, and it's amazing.
Do any of these libraries support TypeScript?
I think DeckGL is written in TypeScript. Let me just double check here. DeckGL. No, actually,
not that it matters.
Well, actually, a lot of DeckGL. Yes. So let's go to GitHub and see what DeckGL. I suspect it's.
I was looking. It looks like they have React based examples. Yeah. So maybe they have Flow.
So I was talking to the guys, the lead developer of DeckGL, and a really nice chap, and he was saying, I've forgotten what I was going to say now. React, so the basically what they've done is with DeckGL is they've made all the components and stuff to be used with like React, what they want to do is they want to make it framework agnostic, so any framework could use this library. So in the moment, if you go into the DeckGL, examples are kind of React based.
Luma GL.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
DeckGL looks like it's all JavaScript. Yeah, there's not any TypeScript there, unfortunately. Dear me.
Yeah, these visualizations are intense.
Oh yeah, they're amazing.
I can imagine needing to kind of build off of something powerful. Whereas, you know, the JavaScript's pretty powerful, but WebGL, if you get access to the actual hardware, then you can. This zooming is amazing. That's impressive. I'm sorry, everybody that's not looking at the screen I'm looking at, I apologize. I'm looking at this hexagon layer map overlay.
Yeah.
Which shows it's like geolocation based graph that overlays the UK, and it's just
you can change the binning size as well to make them really small, but you can make the hexagons really really small, and you can just
United
play like
Kingdom Road Safety.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the best one.
Incredible. Okay.
So you can
we'll have links to this.
You can plot out you can actually show millions of polygons at once. You basically can visualize big data now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is cool. I'm going to have to find a way to use this in my day job.
I'm going to quit the day job stuff and just try and get paid to do this stuff, man.
This is awesome. This is exciting. No, I mean, so how long has this been out? And
2 years.
Other than big companies, are there like smaller companies using this?
Uber began work on it internally 2 years ago, and they released it a year ago, and now it's stable. Now it's like battle tested. You can use it.
Cool. Cool. So tell us about you've given us the kind of like the high level view of like what your talk was about. Tell us about like how you prepared for your talk.
I basically spent about a week swatting up for it and just deep diving into the data visualization world. It was pretty tough actually. I mean, really had to cram a lot into my head in a week, right? Because I didn't really. Yeah, it was just kind of come up quickly. The opportunity to do it. So, and preparing it basically, you got to practice public speaking to do a talk like this. Because this was the data visualization summit in London, and this is like a pretty. People are paying like, you know, companies like £1,000 a ticket, kind of stuff. So I had to make sure I did a good job, of course. So.
And how long of a session did you have?
Half an hour.
Did they allow room for questions at the end?
Yeah, so I went through so much stuff. The only person that asked questions was the chairman, and also like the chairperson, and also there was a friend of mine in the audience. Well, I got a lot of good feedback because one of the guys was quite a serious guy, and he goes, "I thought the presentation was exotic because I did some like meditation at the start. I went like, everybody breathe, breathe."
You got them focused.
And I got people's attention. They're like, "What is he doing?" And I also had like videos of my pigeons and stuff like that, which went down well.
Pigeon videos are awesome.
Yeah. So really what you do in a talk like that is you can't really just jump in to start talking conferences. You have to like do public speaking and like meetups and just practice it. So I've been doing it for about a year and a half now, public speaking. And so you kind of like want a bigger stage. So this was a big stage for me. And then the next, I want a bigger stage. Because it's not a big jump for me to go from this stage to a bigger stage. Maybe several hundred developers or something like that. That would be great. And also public speaking is I think one of the best things that programmers can do to advance their career prospects. Because you're leveraging, you're leveraging to multiple people at once, and who knows who is in the audience, who might be able to give you a job or a contract or something like that. You never know.
Right.
And I've also started a new contract teaching React.
Is that going to be something that you can spin off into like a service that you can do regularly, or?
Well, I'm teaching React, and I'm the tech lead for this new project in React. So,
and it's a small contract.
Yeah, it's just like a month. But how are you?
I'm doing good. Been working with the React teams here.
Nice.
And trying to have better integration with error reporting software. So we've been kind of messing around with integrating Sentry. I'm going to look at Rollbar and some other of those services. And if any of our listeners are not familiar, those services are highly valuable. Like, they will detect when your code is not performant. They'll send you notifications. You actually get telemetry timeline data. So you'll know like what the stack trace was, not just what the error was, but like what the user experienced prior to the event, the error being thrown.
All right.
Those kind of tools, super helpful. So anyway, we're just kind of playing around with that stuff right now. We have I'm not going to say a code freeze, but we have a period of time from now between the New Year's.
All right.
And then that we really don't want to push any new features out, but essentially we don't want to introduce any bugs into the system.
Is it because Black Friday?
The holiday season. Yeah, so coming up this weekend is Singles Day in Asia.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a big day that we don't want to like mess up with our code base in order to
sure.
Capture as many sales as we possibly can. And then also, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all of those days are kind of
retail
important.
Places are really, I've worked in retail by client in London, and Black Friday is like, the annual calendar revolves around that, peak.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we're not like a full-blown retailer, so it's not like doesn't turn our red to black, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But at the same time, we don't want to cripple our holiday sales. So we definitely hold back for the month and a half.
So what are you guys using, Create React App or TypeScript, Create React App, TypeScript, Redux, React Router, and all that stuff?
So yeah, we internally we have a blueprint team, and they created some different application blueprints, which are essentially like a Yeoman type generator, is baked out of Create React App. So each team does it a little bit differently. Like, they take pieces of the application that's generated and throw them away, or keep them, or whatever. But not every application is identical.
I was playing around with something today called Redux Zero. And it's like, take everything to do with Redux and make it a lot less boilerplate. And then I like went and checked on the React Discord server, and I says, "What do you think of this React Redux Zero thing?" And he goes, "Ugh, it's not Redux, something else, Redux Zero."
Yeah, yeah. So many people just get stuck in their, that's their favorite thing. I've done that too. Where Angular was my thing, and I was like, I'm not gonna ever touch anything else. But
yeah.
That's not to say that the other things are garbage. So,
I must admit, moving from Ember to React, it's like the Wild West.
Right, it is. And as long as you use Create React App, then you're in a good place. But
yeah.
If you start to build React from scratch, then you're like, oh, I don't even know what libraries to bring in.
Create React App is really nice, man. Really nice.
Right.
Done a good job copying Ember.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of the tools are, even with Angular, they're like, they're basing everything off of Ember.
Yeah.
So.
I really hope Ember moves on and gets moving, because it's getting stagnant in terms of trying to support all the older versions of the Ember apps. I think it's gotta move on or die.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. I know that they just recently announced maybe they're not, but the company that Yehuda Katz
Tilda.
Runs, they're hiring for Tilda. Yeah, they're hiring for Ember experts. So I think that once they bring on Ember experts into Tilda, they're also probably going to contribute back to open source and try to help fund that.
Ember must move away from this custom object model. It's the one thing I really don't like about it. I've not liked it since I first started using it 3 years ago, and it's still in the framework. Now the Glimmer components don't have, man, we're covering a lot of topics this episode. You know why? Because I'm not doing the show notes.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about that.
It's your turn.
So there's a I'm gonna have to look into it. I was listening to a podcast today. Sorry, tangent here. I was listening to a podcast today, and there's some sort of browser extension that we can use to drop in show notes. So we'll have to look and see if there's like an easy way to do that, so that we don't have to go and do this last minute effort at throwing together show notes. Anyway, back to what you were saying. You're kind of getting into Ember custom object.
Well, Ember still uses, if you use Ember CLI, you're still using the default Ember components, or you know, they have to use like the custom Ember object model. But the Glimmer components don't have that, which are like the new version of the components. So hopefully Glimmer will be make it into mainstream Ember at some point, so that you can just start writing JavaScript again.
Oh yeah, did we also mention that Glimmer is built on TypeScript?
Oh yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they released the type definitions. They probably do, but yeah. I've never used it, so I have no idea.
So with Ember, you're getting like routing out of the box and all that stuff. Like today, I'm making a new app and there's no routing, so like I have to write my own services, but it's all right. I mean, I'll just dispatch the actions and then I'll call the services from our producers and or from the actions, you know, stitch it all together. I think I'm going to have to learn to use Redux Saga. Redux.
Are you talking about Ember or React?
Oh, React. React.
We just jumped back,
yeah. I mean, this preparing for this conference made my brain to some kind of overdrive super cycles state. It's kind of like hard to stop. Plus I do things like watch Netflix and code at the same time. On the same screen.
Oh, that's terrible.
On the same screen.
Yeah. Have you ever... Well, yeah, I've tried to do that. I've never succeeded. But have you ever tried to listen to a podcast while you're coding? It's not doable.
Nah. I can watch YouTube videos at 4x speed now, though.
Oh, hey, what's your favorite programming music?
Programming music?
Yeah, what do you like to listen to when you program?
I like to listen to retro game music. Like Sonic the Hedgehog and all that stuff.
The 8-bit.
No, like game. Donkey Kong Country.
Right. So I like to listen to Tycho, TYCHO. Wikipedia says it's an American ambient music project led by Scott Hansen.
Oh.
Anyway, it's really good. It's really good music. So yeah, if you are wanting to listen to something that's just kind of chill, Tycho's good music.
Sounds good to me.
TYCHO.
Nice.
Cool. So what else besides the new contract you're working on, just fiddling around with React?
Well, this contract will be deep into React, and then on the side I want to be tomorrow I'm going to Twitter for there's like a coding pizza drinks night, so why not? And it's on the way home from my office.
You're going to Twitter, to the Twitter office?
Yeah, and after work.
Do you think that they're the person that for 11 minutes shut down Donald Trump's Twitter account?
Yeah, but this is a celebration. This is a celebration party.
That person, whoever they were, they get a high five from me.
All right. I'm actually a member of the politics Discord server. I was on there for 7 hours the other day, debating people, and then eventually I was so tired that this person asked me the same question 4 times and I still couldn't understand what he meant. Yeah. And that was also before my talk, conference talk. I don't know what I was doing that day.
Oh yeah, you totally overloaded yourself for sure.
Yeah.
Politics is a hard thing to have a conversation about for 6 hours.
Yeah.
I was going to share something else. Dang it, now I can't remember. Just so everybody knows that's listening, it's a good idea to write things down before you actually start talking about them.
Yeah, it's also good things to understand your topic before you teach it.
Yes, just 5 minutes before you teach it, you should understand it.
Yeah, so for all listeners out there that have never done a public speaking before, it is the future. Because if you basically want to leverage yourself and not just be trading time for money, become a public speaker, because you know, obviously be good at what you're doing, but then learn to communicate it. The best communicators are, you know, the best leaders are the best communicators. And if you also be entertaining, make your talks entertaining. Nobody wants to listen to boring talks. So make some videos with cats talking to other cats about JavaScript and you know, that kind of stuff, and have some random stuff that you can show people in the presentation. Do some like somersault or something like that.
Oh, I know. I just remembered what I was going to talk about. So I just signed up, and this is today is November 6th. So Monday, November 6th. So this might have already started by the time this podcast comes out. Let's cross my fingers and hope I can edit it fast enough. So on November 13th, which is 1 week from today, right? Calendars. Anyway, November 13th, what's it called? Now I can't think of it. There we go. 30-day code quality challenge by Ben Orenstein will launch, and it's a free 30-day code quality challenge. And I don't know how many details about it, but all I know is that every day you're going to get an email, and it's going to say, "Hey, go look at your code base and find these to-do items and add them to a Jira or some sort of task or issue board that you have." So it's kind of just like helping you be better at managing your own projects.
Uh-huh.
So these are 30-day code quality challenge, and it starts on November 13th. So I'm going to do it, and I hope that more people do it. But it sounds like a really cool thing to help improve not just your code, but like improve your project.
It's nice.
Let me see. I'll add a link to the show notes for that. Like I said, it starts on the 13th of November. So hopefully I'll get this podcast edited in time. If not, I apologize.
Yeah. One day, hopefully, we'll get a chance to sit down and have a meal or something one day. You know, face-to-face meeting.
Yeah. I actually did reach out to Chris Enns, and Chris Enns does run his own podcast editing service, and he's going to be putting on, at some point, a podcast workshop. So I'm going to kind of keep watch on that, and it'll be about all topics podcast related, from finding guests to interview, from asking good interview questions, from, you know, recording, like what recording software is good, and also, you know, microphones and other tech related stuff.
Cool.
And then obviously like where to host and how to do that. So if anybody's listening is interested in that, you could hit Chris Enns up on Twitter, or he's got a good website. I'll put a link in the show notes. So I think we've kind of reached the end of our show for the day. Is there anything you wanted to promote for your upcoming, I guess, end of year events that you might be doing?
I can give people my bank account details and they can donate if they want.
Yes, well, definitely. We don't have a Patreon account, but if we did, you could send us money.
Yeah, well, I'm wanting to like start to move away from like just coding. I want to start building teams and doing bigger projects. So I'm always on the lookout for, you know, developers. Now I'm want to like just leverage myself to build bigger business stuff. So.
Cool.
See what happens.
If anybody has any questions for us, you can find us on Twitter. We are at LearnWithUsPod, and we tweet maybe 2 times a month, so we won't overload your feed. And then, in addition to that, be sure to subscribe and leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Exactly.
Because I don't think that there's ever been a podcast that asked for 4 stars, so
yeah,
5 stars is all we want.
Yeah, I gave 5 stars all the day, Ken.
Did you?
Yeah,
great. I don't even think I've been to that page. So if you leave a review, I might not have read it. Anyway, so it's been great, and we'll talk to you later.
See you guys later. Bye.
And that's a wrap.
And that's a wrap.